You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Who wants to have some fun? Right now, there are 600 Titleists that I got from the driving range in the trunk of my car.
Can we get on with it?
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
This is a week of firsts on Overdrive. Yesterday, we established that the O-Dog is now officially a member of the briefcase-carrying society.
I've already gone on eBay for vintage briefcases.
I spoke with Craig yesterday, Craig Button, at 6:30. Craig has a red leather briefcase.
No, he does.
Yes, from Florence, Italy. And he said the only way you're truly in the briefcase game is if it is made in Italy. So you've got to pick up your game, because that is made in, like, Wisconsin. That thing's got Iowa written all over it. I think you need made in Italy stamped on that briefcase.
Okay, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I Googled vintage Louis Vuitton briefcases, but do you think it would take away, because some of the vintage ones don't have the folders like this, if I got, like, one of my people to take this out and sew it into a vintage one, would that be like ruining the vintage?
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that, man. You can't, you know.
Yeah, but who cares if it's yours and you don't care?
Well, like the Mona Lisa, no one's pulling out, you know, a crayon or something and saying, I just want to adjust some of that. You don't mess around with greatness. And that thing is already great and spectacular. And you're talking about the inside, the interior of the briefcase.
You felt the material. It's real.
It's Italian leather. It's spectacular. So that was a first. And the second one is being established this afternoon. Jamie Noodles McLennan is officially back in the country. Noodles is here. He was in L.A. calling that game last night. Ottawa won. They were massive underdogs. They won that game.
I thought they did the red eye, though, and got back at like 7 in the morning.
No, I think he flew early this morning. I think he was up this morning. We were texting him at like 8 Eastern time, and he was responding. It was 5 o'clock in L.A. I think he landed about an hour ago. He thought he could get here on time. The Waze app has done him wrong. The Waze app has taken another victim.
Why would you even come in, honestly?
Well, he's in. He's coming in. He's going to be here any minute now. But you've been late for shows. Jonas has been late for shows. I don't think I've ever been officially late for a show, but Noodles has now officially been docked as tardy.
Brian, 6 years. Program. How many times have I been late?
I'm not saying you've been late a million times. I'm just saying it's a fact.
I think have three been late. Times in 6 years.
That's fine, but literally you have been late for a show.
Three times in 6 years.
I'm not challenging the amount. I'm just saying you have had that happen. Jonas had it happen, right?
Yeah.
And now Noodles is, you and Noodles, two peas in a pod. It's Mail It In Friday.
Go ahead, be late. And we are going to get into a situation with Noodles, because when you represent this radio show, you have got to big league people at the right opportunities. And Noodles did something to our show that is so disrespectful. And we're going to get into it when he gets in here. Because he got punted off of a flight, or punted to the back of the plane, by somebody that we need to discuss.
I think it's his story to tell. We'll allow him to detail everything. But we will poke holes in it, and I'm with you. I think he allowed our show to be disrespected.
Yeah.
At LAX this morning.
Yeah. Some of the people he worked with were still there, sitting with this person, hanging around this person. And he accepted the fact. I'm going to tell you one thing. If I pay for a flight, you're not telling me to go somewhere else. No way. Do you not agree, Brian?
I agree with that in principle. Absolutely. The airlines are so arrogant, and they overbook.
You take my money, and then when I get on the plane, you say, oh, no, you're going back there?
They do it all the time.
No. And they, if I got in my pod and got like comfy and leaned back,
they know there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. You can yell and scream and complain. Guess what? Then you're that guy on the video who's getting dragged off a plane by security. They are so arrogant because they have the ability to put forth that type of arrogance.
You want to put me back with the other?
I'm with you, man. The airlines. I'm not speaking on behalf of them.
I'll just grab my underpants and put them up on the dryer like people do on YouTube.
Well, that has happened too.
No, I saw it. That's what I'll do. I'll
but then
you put my underpants up there and dry them the whole flight.
That's not messing with the airline. That's messing with the other passengers. That's the problem with that move. You put your socks up on top of the seat or whatever. Whoever's operating the desk at LAX or Pearson or Kennedy or whatever, they don't care. It's that person that's sitting in front of you that really has to pay the price. But anyway, Noodles will be in here in a moment. Steve Phillips is going to call in about 5 minutes. Russell Martin traded to the LA Dodgers. And he's
Amen.
Got $20 million left on the ticket this year.
Let me guess, they paid 10?
The reports I'm seeing, nothing's official yet. They're probably... The Blue Jays are going to eat upwards of 16 to 18 million. That's not official yet.
16?
Yeah. Russell Martin.
No, I know.
He's a utility player at best. He's a backup catcher now, and he's going to be in L.A. This is a guy, he didn't play in September. Danny Jansen was the guy who was
managed.
He actually was the manager more than he actually played in September. So the second Tulowitzki got bought out, I remember coming on the show, the first thing I thought of was, Tulowitzki's bought out. Russell Martin's, he's the next one out the door. And I think it opens up a discussion. Who is the next veteran beyond him that could be on the way out? You know, the guys who were here in 2015 and 2016. Because Martin was one of them. Tulo was one of them. Donaldson's obviously gone. Bautista and Edwin, those are the big boys that are out. Estrada's gone. Osuna's gone. But, you know, Pilar's still here. Devin Travis, I guess. Still here. I think Kendrys Morales, I'm not sure where he fits into all this. I know you still have to fill out a lineup card, but he's getting paid a lot of money. He can only DH. If this whole season is about getting hacks and getting familiar with the majors, why are you wasting 500 at-bats on a guy like Kendrys Morales? We'll find out, but Steve Phillips will call in about 3 minutes. We'll get his take on Russell Martin being traded to the Dodgers and a couple of minor league pitchers coming in back in return, but I wouldn't suspect either of them would be highly ranked. We'll find out more on the deal with Steve Phillips. Jamie Noodles McLennan back in the country, back in studio.
What's up?
What's happening? Why
would you even like you guys know my deal?
Yes,
2 days.
We're well aware. We're well aware of your deal.
Like the World Juniors was over on Wednesday. I could have been here legit Thursday for work.
We know that.
But I'm coming in Monday. I'm not.
Because I believe it was Brian Munns who was calling. He was calling the Jets game like the next night.
Yeah, Munns. I think Bayak did that too.
I'm sorry, not Munns. It was Bayak.
Yeah,
sorry.
Dennis. Dennis called the game in like Victoria or something, and then the next night he was calling a Winnipeg game.
Yeah, in like Carolina or something.
Well, Noodles is here. You're here. You're officially a part of the Waze app. Who could not make it on time, but you have a reasonable explanation. But well, take us through the story. What happened to you at LA? Was it LAX you were flying out?
Yeah, I was.
Was it this morning? Wasn't the red eye? Was it this morning?
No, I was on a 7:30 this morning. So it landed actually. It's scheduled to land at 3:06. So I actually made it through customs and drove here. There's a massive accident by Kennedy, and everyone's got a rubberneck.
Right.
So I was. It took 17 minutes to get here from the Don Valley and 401.
Yeah, we're
I want to get. I want to get to the meat of it, though. You got bitch slapped and you got thrown to the back of the bird ahead of Sam Cicerello.
Yeah, but
he's not even on air, and you were told to go back there, and he stayed beside.
Here's the story. So we know Chris Cuthbert has like three million miles in the air.
So he's not going anywhere.
He's always at the front of the bird if he wants to, if he chooses to. Because if he puts in for an upgrade, he gets it because he is... There's only like a handful of people that have that type of mileage. Like 3 million miles in the air. It's crazy.
Well, what was that movie with...
George Clooney?
George Clooney. Yeah, up in the air, whatever it was called.
Exactly. So that's what Chris Cuthbert is.
Okay.
So the minute he puts in for an upgrade, there it is. So I put in for an upgrade, and you can see a standby list. And I'm number three on the standby list. There's three spots open. So I'm in good shape. Driving to the airport this morning, looking pretty good. Get to the airport. Now, Sam is number one on the wait list because he'd put in before me. Like and I think we kind of both had the same type of status. So he put in probably a while. I put in for it yesterday. And I get to the airport and I'm watching, and all of a sudden I'm number four. And I'm like, who the hell is, what's going on here?
Are the names?
You it's just abbreviation. So me, I was JMC. That's what, so I was number, I got bumped to number four. Number three was a K.
KJ, probably.
KJE. Yeah, KJE.
Yes, KJE.
So I have no idea what it is, not a big deal. And I roll on, and right away I lock eyes. Like, I'm in now row 18, exit row, good seat, whatever. But I go back, and I lock eyes with this character, and I'm like, I know that guy. And right away I sit down. Sam has the upgrade. So in the front row of business class is always the late additions. So Sam has a seat right beside him. He texts me right away. He goes, I think Kenny Jeong is sitting right beside me.
Chow from The Hangover.
Yes.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Chow from The Hangover knocked you back into coach.
Toodaloo,
Again.
Toodaloo,
You got sewered by Chow.
Could you imagine if
Chow
I went back to my seat?
Slap noodles.
And not my problem.
I just
wanted him to go up to you once and have a line to say something like.
Toodaloo,
Well, whose problem is it then, Chow? Whose problem is it?
Not my problem.
Chow.
Yeah.
Sent you
so
packing.
He got the upgrade instead of me. I got bumped. So and meanwhile I'm like it was a gritty flight.
Give me the woo 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 one.
Yeah,
more
that
time.
Was
Toodaloo,
I actually want to go back and watch that movie.
He plays a brilliant character in that.
So good.
But he's a great actor and a character actor, and
he's been in a couple. Well, he was in that show with Chevy Chase too, wasn't he? Chevy Chase.
Yeah, he's in the movie Crazy Rich Asians.
Well, what's he doing in Toronto? You should have asked him.
Well, Sam chummed up with him.
Right,
they're best buddies by the end of the flight.
How about that?
Got a picture and everything. He's performing at like Humber College or some sort. He's performing somewhere, McMaster or somewhere tonight. I don't know what it is. So he's got a show, a stand up show, and he's performing and flying right back. That's why he's a super elite. My status is there. I got bumped.
You got bumped by Chow.
Not my problem.
He gave me the gate.
That is a real shame.
So that was my, that's been my afternoon.
What a start. Now you're in with us two bozos. And
I'm fine with it, though. I was looking forward to getting back. It's nice to get back in the swing. Because of the time change, I got to watch the Leafs before my game last night.
Right.
So it was good. And Leafs looked in pretty good shape. And then a couple quick ones kind of got everyone a little
bit. I called it
a
greasy win.
Yeah, that's what I thought,
kinda
too.
Good in the first,
did enough.
Floppy second.
Did enough. And what were you guys calling for, though? This is where, were you like just trashing Jersey yesterday or
I
something?
I don't remember saying anything too disparaging about Jersey, but I just.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about Jersey now, Brian. They're awful.
They're terrible.
Yeah, their goalie situation is so bad. And this Kincaid kid, his fantasy world has come to an end. I don't even know where Schneider is.
Well,
doesn't matter.
Injured,
he's not playing.
But he's miscast.
He's injured. Okay.
And Taylor Hall's out.
Yeah.
Like, all I said was, I think the Leafs are going to win big tonight. Like, which I think was reasonable. And yes, it was 4-2. And I know what you guys are saying. And I'm not one to generally go underlying numbers, but that game wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't.
I don't think it was.
I think Jersey has full right to just acknowledge this is not our year.
No, it's probably
Let's
in our best interest.
Yeah. If
Jack
we could kind of retool.
Yeah. Jack Hughes.
Go at it. Yeah, exactly.
You know who the Devils are and what they have to acknowledge? The same acknowledgement the Blue Jays have finally acknowledged.
Exactly.
We're not any good. We got to retool. We're young and... Big news in Toronto today. Russell Martin traded to the LA Dodgers. He's got $20 million left on the ticket. The rumors and reports are out there that the Jays are going to eat upwards of $16 to $18 million. Here's our TSN Jays analyst, Steve Phillips. Jays, Steve, any surprise here that Russell Martin got shipped out?
No, not really. I really looked at him similarly to Troy Tulowitzki, that he's diminished on the back end of his career. that is an organization in transition, wanting to give young kids an opportunity. Danny Jansen is the catcher of the future. And so Russell Martin being a backup catcher, utility role, would put Charlie Montoyo kind of in a tough spot to manage. Like, when do you get him at bats? How do you work him in? Which young player are you going to take at bats away from to get him at bats? And so I'm okay with it. I think it's a change in culture, change in direction. It fits with where they are right now. And for Martin, I mean, listen, to go to L.A., it's a pretty good situation right there. Now, you know, I don't think it takes them out of the J.T. Realmuto sweepstakes, the Dodgers, but I think for Martin, you know, a chance to a playoff-contending team, maybe reinvigorate him a little bit. He'll be a semi-regular player there if nothing else happens, and he can be protected. But I think it's a good move and the right move for the Blue Jays.
Based on what you saw out of Danny Jansen in September when he got called up, what makes you believe he's ready to take over the majority of the starts behind the plate?
Oh, I like him. I do. I think he's a good receiver. I think he's got a good setup, big kid. But he's got pop in his bat. He's got some patience at the plate. I think this is his time. I mean, he's proven he can handle the minor league. It's time for him to sort of make the adjustments at the major league level. But I do. I like his presence. I like his leadership. I really do think he's going to be a very good major league catcher, and that he is definitely part of the solution for the long term there. Now it's just growing, making adjustments, getting to know the pitching staff, and continuing to try to fine-tune the nuances of the game, you know, learning how to call the game, learning how to use pitches, how to set up guys, and just keep developing what he started at the minor league level. But I think he's a solid two-way catcher, he's part of the answer for the long term.
Steve, we've been talking the last couple days about people going into the dome to watch the games and the personalities, and some of the personalities that everyone was familiar with, they're disappearing. So how do you kind of, what do you market? I mean, you can only market, you know, the young kids coming up so much. What do you think it's going to be like getting people into that building to watch them play baseball this summer?
Yeah, I think that the key thing is honesty, right? I mean, you need to understand that it's a rebuilding.
But nobody's
process.
Honest in that situation.
Yeah, well, but I think what it is, and I think it's going to come down to a level of acceptance from the fans, is what is your expectation? If you want to go to a ball game and see the Blue Jays win 93 games, they're not going to be that team. If you want to go and see, you know, potential, you want to go and see on a given night, you're going to see a starting pitcher go 7 1/3 innings of three-hit baseball, giving up a run. But that same guy, the next time through the rotation, might last 2 2/3 innings and get knocked around a little bit. That's the nature of young players. But you're going to have to go, and you're going to have the different lenses in your glasses about projection, about potential, about, you know, watching a player and thinking, you know what, he's got all the makings. Now he just needs to transfer those tools into the skills to play the game, and then you hope it all comes together for the team at the same time, that they can start to get their pitching and position players together to try to win. But look, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is my pick to be the AL Rookie of the Year. I think he's going to step right in and be an offensive force. He's going to be something to watch. I think Lourdes Gurriel, I think that I figure out where he's going to play, but I like him as a player. So I think you can start to think along with the front office on the future and who's part of the problem, who's part of the solution, and what the potential upside could be in some of these young players. You're not going to see it every day because that's the consistency that experience brings, but you're going to see flashes of brilliance and hope that day you go to the park, that's what you're going to see.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, the news today, Russell Martin traded to the Dodgers for reportedly a couple of minor league players, and the Jays are going to eat a lot of that contract, a lot of the money that's still left on the deal. My initial reaction to the Tulowitzki release, or them buying him out, was, okay, Martin's in trouble. They're going to move on from him. And now that they've moved on from Martin, I'm wondering aloud, okay, who's the next vet that may end up going? Kendrys Morales is the guy I circle. Now, he was this administration's signing, which makes him different than Tulowitzki and Martin. But he's pigeonholed as a DH. He's got no future here. He's going to take up, what, 500 at-bats, 550, depending on how many, you know, games he ends up playing and how healthy he ends up staying. What's the point of having Kendrys Morales here?
Yeah, I think that the first thing is, you know, he is a little more productive at this stage than where Tulo and Martin have been at the plate. So, I mean, he still gives you a pretty solid quality at bat, and to mix that in with some of the other young kids is not the worst thing in the world. And you know, will he get 550 to 600 plate appearances this year? Probably not. I think that and they'll probably use him semi-regularly, and it may turn out that they get as much production from him semi-regularly. That maybe playing every day might overexpose it a little bit at this stage of his career. I think their hope is that he gives them some production, and somebody somewhere has an injury where maybe they'll trade for a guy like Kendrick Morales, get that professional with that. You know, it's not breaking the bank. I think it's somewhere like 11, 12, or 13 million, somewhere in that range. And so, you know, it's you're right that he's an older guy. He's not part of the future. Having some experience isn't the worst thing in the world to have on the roster. But if a deal presents itself, they will move him. And I think they've got a better chance to make a deal without eating as much money as they did, obviously, with releasing Tulowitzki or maybe Martin if he gets out to a pretty good start.
Steve, before we let you go, I got to ask you, if you were a player agent and you were taking over a baseball team, wouldn't you kind of just make one kind of rule that you wouldn't be involved in any of your former clients? And you know what I'm getting at here. The Mets GM just seems to be involved in so many of his former players. Like, isn't that just that's just bad for business, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and it's not uncommon where, like, for instance, an executive of a team leaves one team, goes to another team, and a guy who's been around as a GM for a while, and ends up bringing back all the players he had before. And you're right. I mean, it is somewhat short-sighted, and it can be a conflict. You know, the one thing the Mets have said is that if they negotiate with Jacob deGrom, that Brody Van Wagner won't participate in it. But, look, he's just signed Jed Lowry, who is a Stanford grad, former, client of Brody Van Wagner, the general manager for the Mets. They signed him to a two-year, $20 million deal. I like the signing. The deal's not a bad deal, but it does raise eyebrows, right? And you know, does he just want to stockpile the team with all of his guys where he may have thought all along his guys were better than they truly were? Overall, I'd say the Mets are a better team. It's going to be interesting to see how it all comes together. But, yeah, I think there are some conflicts there that they have to guard against. And, you know, I'm also curious watching for every minor league deal. You bring in former, you know, CAA clients as well and bringing them into the fold for the Mets organization. Maybe it will help them in negotiations, but it still feels like it may pigeonhole them. And I know this, other agents are not happy about it. They hope he fails. there are some who say they don't want to negotiate him with Scott Boyce. Like, I'll never talk to him. I'm not talking to him. He's like, I'll talk to ownership. I'm not talking to him. I don't think agents should be general managers. And so he's like adamant when he's not going to deal with Brody Van Wagner directly. And I got other people he can negotiate with. But it is a somewhat complicated relationship. There's no question.
Always appreciate it. Thank you, Steve. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Steve Phillips, Jays analyst. Russell Martin traded to the Dodgers for a couple of minor league players, and Jays are going to eat a lot of the money. And you know,
I like it though, Brian. Like, you got to eat the money. Like, just eat it and just move on. Yeah, move out.
But it sounds like this is a lot like what the Leafs did a while back. But it's just like you were saying, the transparency is like, why not just come out and say this is what we're doing? Like, bite the bullet, fans here. Like, I mean, you had the brand new face in Babcock to soften the blow for the Leafs. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I'm here, but pain is coming, and it's going to be, you know, we've got a plan in place. Just trust us. Like, if Shapiro or Atkins said that to the fans, would they trust him? Like, that's maybe the difference. Like, you don't have a Babcock, Shanahan type of
Charlie Montoyo is not the equivalent of Babcock, and,
right,
you know, Ross Atkins isn't the equivalent of Lou Lamoriello.
Right, you don't have
as much faith because there's just no history there.
I just think the New York Rangers gave themselves, whether you agree with it or not, the ultimate hall pass.
But I think I think the Jays have a hall pass. Like, I don't think anyone.
Yeah,
has
because
pushed
it's reality.
Back.
Everybody
exactly.
knows
it's a reality, dude. It's not like they won 103 games last year, yeah, and they're like, guys, I'm telling you, you don't see it, but we see it. Our trained eye is telling us we're done.
Right.
They've won 73 and 76 games the last 2 years.
Yeah,
they're brutal. They've been awful for years.
They don't really have...
Like, there's no sales pitch. They're terrible, and they have been.
They can't go that much farther down.
They will challenge that. They will go further down, I think. Like, unless,
but it's not going to be a 47-win
I don't think
season.
They'll replicate what Baltimore did last year, but Baltimore finished with, what was it, 47, 48 wins?
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be in the 40s, no. But the 60s, that's what I'm thinking. But really, this is, you know, we always talk about money and will ownership be there to spend it, or what's happened here is they've asked ownership, the front office, to eat money as opposed to spend it. You know, like that's what you're not spending money to improve your team. You're eating money to make problems go away.
And quicker, though.
Yes.
In essence, because you're going to flush players out so that you can have young players get experience.
Which is what is important. Right. Exactly. Like the money, the fact that the Dodgers and the Yankees are taking these players who have spent more historically and are much better teams, I guess adds a bit of a sting. But if you're being, I think, smart about this, this is the move. You want Danny Jansen starting 100 games or whatever it is behind the plate. And you want, you know, Gurriel Jr. playing at short or wherever he's going to play. You don't want Tulowitzki and Martin plugging along, and they have no future here. So, yeah, I'm on board with this stuff. It just, anything you attach yourself to in terms of 15 and 16 in those runs, they're all gone. Everyone's gone now. Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5. Caught up with Ray Lewis. Hall of Famer Ray Lewis is in town. Intense conversation. It was intense. We'll play that around 5:30. We'll get back into the Leaf win last night, and the Bruins are in town tomorrow night. We'll tee that game up next. Mailing in Friday brought to you by 1in100.net for a 1in100 chance at winning killer seats to any Toronto game. Go to 1in100.net, and your first entry is free. Have to give a shout-out to the city of Buffalo, New York. They got their boy Jeff Skinner into the All-Star game.
I was shocked that if that was just flat-out voting, like how does Buffalo beat Toronto out in that?
I don't know, but I give them a ton of credit.
Was it the Russians? Was there hacking involved?
There may have been some hacking.
Because that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Think about this. The Toronto fan base, you're allowed personally 10 votes.
Well, per like IP address or whatever, I would assume it's not. Actually an election.
I would have bet money that Morgan Riley would have been voted in by the Leafs fan base.
I was surprised.
I was shocked.
I was shocked he didn't get it.
And I mean, the injustice too. You know, Mitch Marner, you can go right through. Mark Giordano didn't get voted in. Draisaitl did. So Edmonton voted in instead of Calgary.
It's just a total embarrassment. You talk about a league. Like, what league alters their format for the All-Star game? Much like I talked about how the NHL, come playoff time, they totally switch, and it's a tough league, and there's hitting. What league alters the format of the actual game for an All-Star game? And do you guys have any idea? What league?
Basketball doesn't do it.
No, they all play by the same rules, technically. Yeah.
Except one league, and which one's that?
Well, the NHL.
How embarrassing is that? Like, there's so many guys that deserve, and I'm sick and tired of I'm tired of talking about it. There's so many guys that deserve to go that aren't going. It's stupid. The league's the game's a joke. Nobody cares about it. They're playing 3-on-3. It's laughable. And you wonder why guys are saying, nah, I'm not going. Who wants to go play 3-on-3?
Well, the goalies don't. Because it's all...
No kidding.
You see what 5-on-5...
If I was a coach of a team, I'd tell my goalie, you're not going. I'm not having you going to stretch out and try to defend one-timer passes and crease plays.
That's the only saving grace out of this, because I think Freddie Anderson could have, should have been there.
Yeah, thank God.
And the Leafs don't have him going, and that's good.
Yeah.
Rest is good. Rest is a
weapon. Side-to-side OV one-timer, like 2-on-0, no thanks.
Because eventually the competitive
game's
juices,
a joke. The game is a joke.
The competitive juices do get going for goalies. And they want to make that save on the back door. It's only natural.
I just remember growing up, and it was Gretzky versus Lemieux, East versus West.
Drive the car away. Like, it was actually...
Yeah, can you imagine? Like, it would be great. Get the old unis back, those, like, orange and black ones with the NHL logo.
Well, it used to be the Clarence
McDavid versus Crosby and Matthews. And
yeah, it'd be pretty good. But you know what? I think, Hayes, you and I were talking about this last week. The best scenario, it's for kids. It's for local. It's for that localized. It's good for San Jose, and it's going to be great for families and kids that fly in and that. But entertainment value, it's never been something that's must-watch TV.
It's garbage. It's garbage.
You know, I've gone to the All-Star Game several times. I enjoy the process of it, even as a fan/media type. But I think the guys realize, like, it's not a break for them.
No.
They have a lot of responsibility there, too.
Well, and that's maybe, again, the saving grace for the Maple Leafs, that Morgan Riley now doesn't have to head out there and be a part of it. They've got two guys going. Matthews and Tavares are going. And Tavares
should have had 5.
Yeah, they probably should have had.
Like, I mean, I try to be as fair as possible, but there are.
But
five...
I can't say that Jeff Skinner doesn't deserve to be there. Not either. A, you know, Jeff Skinner.
Jeff
been
Skinner,
great.
100% deserved to be there. Drysdale, you deserve to be there. But there are players that, for lack of better word, like Carey Price shouldn't have been.
Not even close.
He shouldn't have been.
No.
Why is Keith Yandel going to the All-Star game?
Well, he's got technically he's got a bunch of points, but it's if you take a look at his game, it's not.
Every
it's not where Morgan
Riley
is.
That's the joke of it.
Well, we're all yelling about the same thing. I agree. I didn't want to get into it. I'm just throwing a shout out to Buffalo. I'm acknowledging that Buffalo beat Toronto in an NHL contest, which
I'm going to say it one last time, and this is it for me. East versus West, and everybody is saying, how do you get their attention? How do you get them to want to be there? East versus West, MVP, it's not a truck anymore. It's 2019. MVP gets $1 million cash. That might interest people.
Right.
Somebody's got the money to do that.
They throw a bunch of money out. Yeah. I hear you, but
they don't even want a pickup truck. They give it away to somebody.
But the problem with that is what you said beforehand is the teams don't want their players trying hard in an exhibition game where they don't benefit from it. So that's the catch 22. Yes, we'd like it to be more intense. We'd like it, you know, it to become an actual sporting event that we can promote. But none of our owners actually really want that, because if you get some guy who's like, if I block this shot, I'm getting $1 million.
Yeah.
Okay, block the shot, you break your foot, you get $1 million, but then you're out for the season.
Yeah,
Nobody wants that.
I'm petty when it comes to it, because the game is so close now as far as points and standings. There's so much at stake as far as making the playoffs. The difference, how many organizations miss the playoffs by 2 points? And if my top player is tired or has a tough stretch at the wrong time, and because he's run the gauntlet, like, I don't even like guys, and I hate saying this because I know this is against kind of Canadian hockey, I don't like guys going to the World Championships and the Olympics and all of that if there's a potential for injury. Ask John Tavares. I don't think the Islanders are going to win the Cup that year, but their chances certainly flushed down the toilet when
right.
he got hurt.
Now, the Olympics is different than the All-Star game, but you know, you mentioned Tavares. He hit his 300th goal last night
Tavares.
In his career, and 3 points last night, 2 goals and an assist. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they got onto this conversation on Leafs Lunch, and Andy got to it from the angle of the Toronto kid willing to come home now. Is Tavares officially shattering any stigma that might surround it? But I think it was Gord who actually brought up a bigger point that can factor into the league as a whole, is what Tavares has hopefully done. If you're a promoter of player movement throughout the league and more movement in terms of free agency, is that he's opened the door for being comfortable that you can and will flourish if you move on. Regardless of the Toronto angle, this isn't a Toronto story. It's that Tavares was drafted by the Islanders. He spent, whatever it was, 9 years there.
Drafted, developed by that team.
And I'm sure there was a lot of trepidation. You know, am I going to uproot myself? How much pressure is going to come with this? Am I going to be able to pull it off? This guy has knocked down any wall of concern. Now, it's early.
Right.
But I think it should be a message to other players throughout the league. Don't worry about that as much. If you're that talented and you're that good, you can move on and still be a great player.
That's where I was going to head, though. You're a great player. You got to back it up. Like, that's if there's a guy that's maybe, you know, more comfortable in a setting because he's slotted better with that organization, sometimes the grass isn't greener on the other side because you could get exposed. Tavares isn't getting exposed because he's a great player and he's playing with great players. But if you have success in one situation, and I'll give you a prime example, Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner could maybe cash in the offseason, but if he signs with a bottom feeder team just for the cash, he's not playing with Jack Eichel.
Watch out.
He's not, and he's going to be making $9 million or whatever.
That's what I get what your point is. You got to look at who you play with, what's your opportunity. If you just want the cash, go and be on a tire fire and do whatever you want. But,
well, it is more, you're right, and it's important to clarify that it is a discussion about the big boys, you know. And I guess you could have learned that from LeBron, who did it, and Kevin Durant, who's done it. Yes, if you're a third line guy who had a 20 goal season and you've connected, watch what you wish for when you move on.
Right.
But if you know, any of these great players who are coming up in the near future. Put it this way. If Drew Doughty decided, you know what, I'm leaving L.A. and he signed with the Rangers, I think he'd be great with the Rangers.
Right.
You know, and it's and that's maybe what Tavares is kind of knocking down
here. Broke through the ceiling of the other thing that he broke through was the allegiance. The, like, hey, this team drafted me. I've been, you know, I'm going to see this through.
Yes, and ripping the Band-Aid off is tough. Like, that, I don't dispute that. That was very difficult for him to do, to make that decision. But I think it's paid off incredibly well for him. And he's been exceptional. You know, we talk about dollars and cents all the time and trying to reach your dollar amount.
Right.
He's passed it. He's worth every penny, if not more than $11 million. Like, if he's at 29 goals right now. If he finished the year with 29 goals and 78 points, we'd be like, that's a pretty good year.
Good season, yeah.
What a year. I mean, you know what we would have said was, I got a bit of a probably slow start, but that was understandable transition. Now he's in Toronto. Everyone's focused on him. Yeah. This guy's going to, if he stays healthy and on this pace, we're talking 50 goals, 100 points.
Yeah.
Worth every penny.
That's a career high.
He's been exceptional for them. We're off to Vegas in just over a month, and next Thursday we're going to be making the official announcement. Which couple is coming with us to Vegas for the Say I Do with the Overdrive crew? We're going to catch up with a potential suitor here.
Nice.
All right? We'll get to her next. Say I Do with Overdrive in Vegas this Valentine's Day. The O-Dog Noodles and I are ready to become your groomsmen. Send an email to vegas1050@bellmedia.ca. And we've been asking people to do this for months. And we've had hundreds and hundreds of submissions. Hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah.
And the winner is going to be getting married, either tying the knot or renewing their vows, with flights and accommodations provided by our friends at tripcentral.ca. And for over a month now, we've been spending Friday afternoons talking to different people that have emailed the show and emailed into Vegas1050@bellmedia.ca and why they want to tag along with the three of us to Vegas and get married and hang out. We're doing shows down there, and we're going to the Leaf game on the Thursday night. And we have Ashley on the line. And Ashley, I believe, is the one that went ahead and submitted the email herself. I don't believe it's the fiance. Can you confirm or deny, Ashley? Was it you that was spearheading this?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay, good start.
No, it was indeed me. We are both huge fans of the show, which I know is a rarity amongst these submissions.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's kind of funny. We submitted this, and I had no idea that he was actually planning to propose over the Christmas holidays. So I guess if we win, it really takes the difficulty of wedding planning off our shoulders.
Right.
Usually the husbands are usually the fans. Like, how did you get sucked into this nonsense where you have to listen to us? Was it kind of forced upon you, and then you started to like it, or did you like it right away? Explain the dynamic.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm actually a much bigger and better hockey player than he is. So I always loved, you know, the Leafs and whatever. And ever since we were dating, the Leafs were a big part of our relationship. And shortly after, my brother actually introduced us to you guys. So we started listening at the same time. And a couple of years ago, I got him Noodles' book for Christmas. You guys have been, pretty steadfast through the whole relationship.
Very nice.
Impressive.
Okay, so why do you think you'd be the right call here, Ashley, you and your fiancé, to tag along with us in Vegas?
Well, I mean, obviously, as I've alluded to, we're both fans of the show. But, I mean, one of the biggest reasons is we're actually getting married. This isn't a renewal of vows. We don't have any super dramatic story. You know, there's no barfing on a wedding day or, you know, forgetting to check the legal status of getting married in a different country. But, you know, we want to do this. And in the spirit of Mail It In Friday, we really do kind of want to mail in our wedding and have someone else do all the legwork. So, I mean...
This is perfect.
That sounds kind of like us.
Does kind of sound like
that's
it.
That's basically what we would say.
Yeah.
So, all right, we wish you nothing but success and good luck. I mean, we're going to be making this decision, or the station will be making this call in the next few days, and I think next Thursday we're going to make the official announcement. So,
yeah, I know. I was surprised to hear from Steph that late in the game. I thought we were just lost amongst the crowd, so it was very exciting.
No,
Steph's lazy, so she just got around to it. forgot around to going through the...
She just came across your email today.
Yeah. Poor Steph.
Forstev is right. I did call her Peg Bundy on the phone. I must apologize. I was just so excited.
No, that's fine. She gets used to that.
Yeah, she is used to that.
That's nothing for Steph.
That's
all right. Well, good luck with this, Ashley, and thank you for listening, and thank you for submitting the resume for you and the fiance, and good luck with this.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time, boys.
You got it. There's Ashley. That's a very compelling case.
And she knows.
Super fan, big fan.
Calling Steph Peg Bundy.
Yeah.
He knows the deal.
Cannot confirm nor deny.
He knows all the lingo.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to beat. Let's be honest. That'll be difficult to beat. I don't want to
give anything away. She is Johnny Gaudreau of the contest right now.
You think she's the pace car?
Yeah.
You think Johnny Gaudreau is the pace car for the MVP talk?
I do. For some reason, the Canadian market takes it on steroids, and Kucherov, those names get just...
I've been saying it for weeks, man. It's simple. If Edmonton's in, it's a unanimous vote. Like, I came up with the perfect analogy for who Connor McDavid is.
Where is he?
I'll tell you next.